Here we are in 2020. It's depressing to rehash everything that we've had to face, the challenges here during this year, so I won't do that. But I think if you're like me, I'll probably use that expression a lot when I'm talking with you today, but if you're like me, we're kind of beat up, you know? And we wonder like Isaiah proclaimed in the first reading, and I want to read it, this reading, which you did an excellent job, but I want to read it in the way that I read it on this day in the year 2020. Just the first few lines. You, Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer, your name forever. Why do you let us wander, O Lord, from your ways and harden our hearts so that we fear you not? Do you see the tone that I use there? Again, if you're like me, we kind of feel that way. And I've been listening to a lot of people that feel out abandoned by God. Because why? A lot of this evil is coming in. It's seemingly unabated. I've been saying evil seems arrogant right now. You'll do this, you'll do that, you'll sit down, you'll shut up. And so we seem helpless during that time. But you'll notice what Isaiah the prophet pointed to. He said, why did you let us wander, O Lord, from your ways and harden our hearts so that we fear you not? We said fear again, right? We've been talking about that at least for a year, if not longer. This is the gateway, the entrance into receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. As the first gift of the Holy Spirit, we have to get through what's called fear of the Lord to get to the other six amazing gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so fear of the Lord is that entryway. I call it the doorway into the upper room. Remember where the apostles were, Jesus breathed on them. I said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's a doorway to get into that room so we can receive that. Fear of the Lord isn't, you know, wondering if God's going to club us over the head. It's biblical fear, again, is you're awesome. You're so amazing. I love you so much. I could not dream of offending you. In other words, I would be afraid of offending you. That's biblical fear of the Lord. And you can see why that would be the first gift. Because we talked about it last week, where we literally, or figuratively, we throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus. You're so amazing. I'm beside myself. I don't know what to do. You know, Isaiah cries out, why did you let us wander, O Lord, from your ways and harden our hearts so that we fear you not? Why did you let us get to this place? Of course, we've been saying, we're trying to figure out what God's up to here. In his permissive will, he's kind of allowed a lot of stuff to happen this year. And one of them is that, and I think we're doing better than most places, but being removed from the sacraments. Where's the holy water fonts? You know, all the beautiful treasures of our faith that maybe for a time we took for granted. We didn't realize the power of holy water as much as we should have. I remember the first part of COVID, I put out Epiphany holy water on my porch, and I had, it was like McDonald's at 6 o'clock, you know, people coming to get holy water because it was taken, see, the appreciation, but we took it for granted, I think, or at least I think we were convicted, self-convicted, that that's what happened. We, in a sense, we hardened our hearts. We just expected God to just be there and to just give us stuff. So one wonders, maybe that's at least part of what God's up to. In his permissive will, he's allowing us to go without some things so that we appreciate them more. When you get down to it, that's what this Advent is all about. It's, you see over in this Advent wreath, we got the one candle lit. Next week, two, and obviously, But see, the light grows. It's just a little flickering light right now. That could be our hearts. And so that fire needs to build over this period of time in the Advent season. It's a beautiful image of that. Our longing for God, right? Our longing for God has to increase during this time. The amazing hymn, the Advent hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. Think how this hymn, I'm going to just do the first three verses, right? Think how this hymn applies to this year and what we're in right now. Ready? O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny. From the depths of hell thy people save and give them victory over the grave. O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Wow. I encourage you just to let that be a reflection during your Advent season. But what are we saying? All I want to do, Lord, is be near to you. That's all I want. I long for you. I long for you. I feel like we've been distanced from each other. And that's been terrible. I don't want that anymore. And so, I'm asking you to join me if you would. This is the new year, the new Advent year. But other things are happening right now. One of the ways we're feeling of abandoned is that evil, Marxism, fascism, seems like it's rushing in. Like the dam has burst. Of course, what am I talking about? This election. I mean, the oppression and the persecution that we're about to face, if it goes the way it seems to be going, is going to be historic. I think we all know that. I told you a couple of weeks ago that how much I appreciate that you all get it. You all understand what's going on. Why? Because you have that Holy Spirit. You're enlightened by that Holy Spirit. You not only see what God's doing more readily, but you see what the devil's up to too. And we all know what's going on. This has been a very, I'll use a mild word, challenging year. But look where it's heading. And so I'm asking if you would join me in prayer. You know, this is our last hurrah. In fact, I equated it to when Marxism and fascism, okay, so communism and Nazism, was rushing unabated across Western Europe, ready to take that out and head our way. And what did they do? They put together a fierce force. They codenamed it Operation Overlord, D-Day, June 6, 1944. They rushed the beaches of Normandy. And they took out the enemy. I don't know about you, but I think it may be as severe, if not more severe, right now. And it is Marxism and fascism again. That sees religion as its mortal enemy. Okay? And so it has to take that out. I want to do what I call Operation Overlord 2.0. And I looked at what was going on in Europe at that time. One of the characters that stood out was Saint Maximilian Kolbe. Now, Maximilian Kolbe loved the rosary and promoted it. But during this time, this perilous time, this make or break time, he called upon everyone to take on two more weapons. What did he call for with his Militia Immaculata? Marian consecration. What is Marian consecration? I want to go get so tight to Jesus' mom that I never approach Jesus when she is not with me. In fact, I'm under her mantle. Remember, we talk about under her mantle. That's almost like saying I'm getting back up into her womb, right? I'm under her mantle. That's what consecration says. I turn my life over to you, Mary, so that you might lead me to Jesus. To Mary, or through Mary, to Jesus, right? So we want to get tight with Our Lady. And so he called for Marian consecration. Listen, on October 8th of this year, if you're watching the political activities that are going on, that's the deadline. You got to make your case, or it's all over then. That's the deadline. Starting tomorrow, that's 9 days away. St. Maximilian Kolbe put together a 9-day preparation for consecration. It's beautiful. It's powerful. He had scriptures, his own reflections. I'm asking if you would join me. Operation Overlord 2.0. We're going in. I know many of us are doing the 54-day Rosary Novena. Let's keep doing that. But we're adding now Marian consecration and the second weapon that Maximilian Kolbe called for. Obtain the amazing graces from wearing the miraculous medal. I'm wearing mine right now on my 4-way scapular medal. That also counts for a brown scapular. Okay, so by wearing this, I keep my promise of wearing the brown scapular and wearing the miraculous medal. It's one way I highly recommend for everybody. But he called it a bullet against the enemy. A bullet against the evil, Maximilian Kolbe did. And so he asked people, once you get consecrated, promise to wear this miraculous medal from that point on. So I'm encouraging everybody to do that. So, 9-day preparation starts tomorrow. Goes to October 8th, the 9th day, end our consecration. And go to confession, please. Do this in a state of grace, right? And then, at the end of this, we'll do the consecration and we'll wear our miraculous medal from that point on. We're calling upon the intercession of the Blessed Mother, Saint Michael, Saint Maximilian Kolbe, Pope John Paul II, and I'd also like to add Mother Angelica. Here's why. Some of you have seen the YouTube video. If you haven't, I urge you to do it. If you can go on YouTube and go Mother Angelica rant and you'll find it, okay? In 1993, after 15 years of John Paul II standing alone against this modernist invasion, okay, these bishops and cardinals that took control of the church, he was alone on the battlefield. On that day, Mother Angelica was fed up. This rant is amazing. And she said, that's it. And it would be a couple of months later, her order would put on the traditional habit. And EWTN, from that point on, became incredibly popular in the Catholic world. And we were what? Reclaiming surrendered ground to the sacred. So what happened there? If you know the story of Lepanto, Pope Pius V called Don John of Austria to collect the remnant troops, to stand against the Turks, who were going to deal the last blow. I believe Mother Angelica is the Don John of Austria of our times. John Paul II stood alone. 1978, we became Pope. Until 1993, He was alone on the battlefield. Mother Angelica and the EWTN network collected the remnant forces, and we've been pushing out this modernism ever since. Praise God. I think we got to get her to be a saint. She was the Don John of Austria for John Paul II. And you, my brothers and sisters, and I are the remnant forces. We're facing a very serious make or break moment. So the petition is what it's been for the 54-day Rosary Novena. We just simply want truth to come out, truth to be revealed, and then please God, bless our church and our nation, that we may be powerful once again. Ephesians 6:10. My brothers and sisters, it's not easy to be penitential in this American culture during this time of year. I, like you, love watching all the decorations in front of people's houses. In fact, I just had one of our parishioners offer to put up some for me this year. That'd be my first. But I love all that. And I love preparing for Christmas and buying the presents. So it's not easy to be penitential, to be more engaged in our spiritual lives during this time. So please, let's do all that we can to do that. Not at the exclusion of those other things, okay? But let's see if we can, you know, walk and chew gum at the same time. A very important penitential season, Advent, especially in the year 2020. So please, if you would, you go to usgraceforce.com to find all this. Operation Overlord 2.0. Tomorrow, we go in. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.